Make a start to the midweek service tonight. I want to bid you welcome in the Saviour's name. It's good to have Alejandro with us, and he's going to duel up tonight. He's going to play the piano and Sylvia on the organ. We're going to begin with the hymn Victory in Jesus. I heard an old story, how a Saviour came from glory, how he gave his life in Calvary to save a wretch like me.
Thank you.
want you to remember the Glasgow family in prayer. James's mother has gone to be with the Lord. She was led to rest today down in Ballymena in the cemetery there. And her sympathy is certainly with James and Doreen and the family circle. Want to remember them before the Lord. Want to also remember our brother Robin Miller tonight and his family. His mother-in-law, Annie Keane, passed away yesterday evening. And we're asking the congregation to please pray for this family in their need. Received a wee text here from our sister Pearl Dewey. Just simply, please remember John DeLargy in prayer. He's the husband of a work colleague, and he's in the Causeway Hospital with COVID and pneumonia. And this prayer request is for this man, John. So as we come to seek the Lord tonight, let's turn aside in prayer, call upon the name of the Lord. We've been led to great victory in the opening hymn, and it's always a joy to sing about the blood of Christ and his redemptive work, great atonement that he made at the cross. And that really sets up a prayer meeting, any meeting in fact, as we're led to Calvary. Our Lord and our gracious God, it is with joy that we come to the house of God, a place that we love, a place where we meet with God principally, and we meet with those of like precious faith. We thank thee that one of the great areas where the converts on the day of Pentecost continued in was fellowship. And Lord, we value this. We know that God's command is to be in his house and not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And Lord, you've called your house especially the house of prayer, a place where prayer is offered, where God is worshipped by the church, the believing people of God. We thank thee for the body of Christ, and we are here in this meeting, knit together in a union, the one with the other, and with the great King and head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we praise thee for that fellowship that we have with each other, and then that fellowship more especially that we have with God himself. We pray that you will further prepare our hearts as we bow before thy holy presence. We know that we can't come to God just any old way, but there is a way that is marked out, and it is the way through the veil. It is through Christ. It is upon his redemptive work we are accepted. Your word tells us in the Beloved. And so, Lord, we seek the cleansing of the blood of Christ in our approach to thee now. We pray that thou wilt take away our sins, our many sins. We sin in word, thought, and deed every day. And we come to the God that is gracious and the God that is merciful, the God that does not deal with us after our sins nor reward us according to our iniquities, but a God who deals with us in grace and in mercy. We thank you tonight that our sins have been nailed to the cross in Christ. He bore the penalty for our sin. He took the judgment upon himself and came out victoriously. And so we can say in the words of that little chorus, upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, upon another's life and death I stake my whole eternity. We're resting tonight in the victory of the cross. You've led us there in the opening hymn. We thank you for the one who came into this world to take our place, to die for us. We were those wretches that the hymn speaks about. Nothing more than an old sinful wretch in the sight of God. And yet Jesus, the pure, innocent, holy Son of God, took our place and died for us, paid the penalty in full. Lord, we seek your blessing upon this time together as we wait in the house of the Lord, as we approach thee in prayer. We think of those families that we've mentioned who have lost loved ones. We pray for Robin and his wife and the Miller family. And we do remember our brother James Glasgow and his brothers and their respective families in these hours of grief and mourning. May they know the presence of the Lord, Jesus himself drawing near and going with them. And we remember this dear man that prayer has been requested for, this man John. And Lord, you know his situation just now in the Causeway Hospital. We want to commit him into the hands of the Lord in a very powerful way. We pray that the Lord will take him up. The Lord will be pleased to guide doctors and nurses in the skills that you've given to them, that they might be able to give the right treatment. And we pray that the Lord himself will touch him in body and be pleased to spare him and raise him up to health and strength again. Remember our brother Alejandro as he comes shortly to speak to us. Thank thee for him. Thank thee for the ministry that you've given to him and for this first year and a little more in the land of Spain and in the village of Corticus Nuevas. Thank thee for all the Lord has been pleased to do in and through him. And we pray that you will establish the work in that village. We pray that you will move with power and draw in the people under the sound of the gospel, and that you will gather in the church in that part. We believe that the Lord has a people in every village, in every town, in every city. And through the world, he's gathering in his people. Lord, do it, we pray, in Corticus Nuevas and the surrounding area. We pray that you will rain the mighty power of God upon them and make his ministry effectual and powerful there. So bless us together as we listen to him tonight, as we hear the report, and as we listen to your word as well. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Very warm word of welcome to you tonight in the Savior's name. If you're listening in online, we bid you welcome also. We remember our youth fellowship tomorrow night as the young people meet at 8 o'clock and as Ryan comes to speak on the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. The Lord's Day commences with prayer coming here to the fellowship area at 8 o'clock, the Sabbath school 10:30, the Bible class 10:30, and our worship service 12 noon, the gospel meeting at 7, preceded by the time of prayer at 6:15. We thank you for your tithes and your offerings. I'm going to sing a missionary hymn. This is our missionary meeting tonight. Our missionary meeting is always the last Thursday of the month, and we have one of our own missionaries here tonight, Alejandro. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves.
Thank you.
Tonight is a deputation meeting for Alejandro Bernabeu. Alex, we welcome you to your home congregation in Northern Ireland. And we welcome Vanessa and the children. Lovely to see them. A little more than a year on, growing up, getting bigger. And they're always welcome here in Hebron. And we have great memories, fond memories of them when they were here among us. So we're welcoming really one of our own. We're looking forward to this report that he brings tonight. And we do ask you, remember, there will be an offering at the end to support Alejandro in the ministry that the Lord has called him to. So we're going to invite you to come. Thank you for playing tonight, getting that extra duty. And may the Lord bless the report that you give to us.
Thank you very much. It is a privilege to be back here in Ballymoney. We have been now for, I think, 78 days, and on Saturday, God willing, we will be returning back to Cortijos Nuevos, or to Spain. Now, if you could turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of James. The book of James, the chapter 5. And of course, before I say anything else, I want to thank you so much for all your support and prayers during this year. We couldn't be there without you supporting us and praying for us. And we know that you are praying for us, and we really appreciate that. And we know that only eternity will reveal what God has done in our lives and even in the work there in Cortijos as an answer to the prayer, to the prayers of His people. So thank you very much for your prayers, for remembering us. We're going to read some verses in James chapter 5. And the verse 7 and 8, only two verses we want to read in chapter 5 of the book of James. Then we will pass some comments, and then we will report about our last year in Spain and Cortijos Nuevos. But James 5 and verse 7 says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." And we know the Lord will add His blessing to the reading of His word. Let us pray for a moment. Let us come to the Lord. Father, we come to Thee in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we pray that You will help us now to meditate for a moment in Your word, in these verses. And O Lord, that as we meditate upon these verses, O Lord, that You will help us. Guide me, O Lord, in what we're going to say. And even as we report of this year in Spain, O Lord, we thank You so much for taking us there, protecting us there, and for helping us there in every step of the way. Thank You, Lord, for this congregation that remembers us in prayer. And we thank You, Lord, for the opportunity we have today to be here. Thank You, Lord, for everything that will be done today. And we pray, Lord, that Your hand of blessing will be upon us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I was reading some days ago this passage, and I was thinking also about what to speak here, or what verse to bring. As I was thinking of reporting here after a year there, I wish I could report of tens and hundreds of souls that have come to Christ, of young people that are heeding the call of God to the ministry, and we long, and of course I'm Spanish, so I long for the time when the Spirit will visit Spain in revival. But sadly, that's not the case at this precise moment. And the Lord brought this text to my mind, and as I was reading it, of being patient. And of course, in the world that we live, we find it so difficult to be patient. We live in a world that demands instantaneous results in everything. And we find it difficult. And I wanted to share some thoughts about this text. It says there, be patient. And first it says, unto the coming of the Lord. And at the end of verse 8 it says, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. We must be patient unto the coming of the Lord. And the context of this passage, I don't know if you have been reading James 5, but James is speaking about those that were very rich and powerful ones that were abusing their power, and they were so greedy that they did not pay the wages they owed to their workers. They even killed and condemned those that were innocent. And some Christians were suffering this. We're suffering a lot because of this. What does James say to these suffering saints? Does he say, revolt and rise up and claim your rights and your freedoms? No. He says there, be patient. Brethren, be patient, therefore, he says. And he says, yeah, you may feel this way, but one day all this will end. The Lord is coming. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh, he says. So be patient, even until the end of time, unto the coming of the Lord. And he not only says be patient until that time, but also be patient with that time in view. Christ is coming to deliver us. He is coming to end all our suffering and our problems and our trials and tribulations. And we must remember that our reward is not in this world. It is in heaven. He is the one. God is the one who truly pays wages when he will come to take his own bride, to take his church, to be with him forever. So be patient unto the coming of the Lord. James also says, be patient as a farmer who waits for the precious fruit. And as you will see in some pictures tonight, our church in Spain is located in a place where there are millions of olive trees around. And just now, this same week, is the week where many of these farmers start to collect all these olives from these olive trees. But this year, they had actually a really big problem, because from the beginning of September to the end of October, for 8 weeks, there was not one drop of rain. So of course, that was a big problem for the farmers, for the ones who worked in the olive trees. And even you could see it in the olive trees, the olives were shrinking. They were very dry, they were very small, they were very thin. There was no oil from those olives. It would all be bones, nothing to profit from. But just at the end of October, those days, the 30th, 31st, and then the beginning of November, there was 3 or 4 days when the rain fell, and it was very, very good rain for the agriculture. And in some parts, it even reached 120 liters, so that was a lot. And I'm told that in a matter of hours, you could see the difference between the olive that now had received the water and was growing okay and had more juice and would produce a lot more olive oil. The farmers had to have very long patience. And finally, the latter rain came for a good harvest. And it is the same in the work of God. In the work of the Lord, we must have long patience. Not a bit of patience, but long patience, as James says here. Sometimes there are places and there are works and that there is spiritual rain constantly and souls are being saved all the time and there's fruit constantly. But other places, other times, there seems to be a spiritual drought and hardly no fruit or that we can see or little fruit for months or years. But we must be remembered here that we must be patient. And in the work of Cortijos Nuevos, the Reverend Lyle Boyd has shown great patience for more than 30 years in a very difficult place. But the Lord has given him fruit for his labor. But we also can learn from this text that we must be patient. And then James says, and establish your heart. Be patient and establish your heart. And that's important because being patient doesn't mean that you do nothing, that you lay down and that's it. And you wait passively. No, there is a need for each of us to establish our heart. And that's an inward work. That's our hearts must be prepared, established, confirmed, ready, nourished. Many people have established their minds and they work a lot and they like all these intellectual debates and doctrines, but they only stay in their minds, in their head, and it doesn't go down to their hearts. Maybe their hearts are wavering, their heads are full of intellectual knowledge, but their hearts are wavering from one place to the other. But there's a text in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9, that says, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. And then it says, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. And it's so important that we establish our hearts, that we prepare, that we make preparation in our hearts with grace. We live in a day when we must feed our hearts with the grace of God, not with all that is around us, but only with the gospel of grace. We must establish our hearts with grace. And it is so easy, even in the time we live, it is so easy to get sidetracked, distracted with so many things, or with even matters that are not foundational, matters that are not so important, even social, political, justice matters. But that is not our main calling as Christians. We are called to advance God's kingdom, to speak of the grace of God, to establish our hearts with grace. So here we learn that we must be patient. And I learned that I must be patient. And that we must use our hearts, our time, in establishing our hearts for what the Lord will have for us in the future. So as I was reading this text here in James, the Lord taught me that I must learn patience. I must learn patience. And I think that's something that we all need to learn. And as I think about reporting about what the Lord has done in the last year there in the church in Cortijos Nuevos, I wanted to do a bit of a summary of this first year, what has happened in Spain. Much has happened since our farewell service a year and 3 months or a year and 2 months ago. And we thank all of you for your prayers for us. We had our farewell, and then I had to travel to Spain to take things in a van. I'm going to show some of the pictures too, so I think you will be able to see them there. But the Lord protected us a lot. Okay. The Lord protected us a lot as we went. We had to travel in a van. We went to Rosslare, and then from Rosslare we got a ferry and we got to Spain. So I had never been in a boat for so long. It was 26 hours. So it was a bit of an experience, but thankfully we were able to, the Lord brought us there safely. And then we were able to deliver all our belongings that we wanted to take to Cortijos Nuevos. And finally, as a family, we arrived in Spain on the 12th of October last year 2020. The church is located in a small town, a town of maybe 800 people or less than 1,000 people, and the town is called Cortijos Nuevos, a very small village. And this village is just in the middle of a beautiful national park called the Sierra de Segura Park, or the Sierra de Segura National Park. It's really, really nice. There are mountains, there are lakes or dams, there are forests, and of course there are millions and millions of olive trees. Almost 70 million of olive trees. And it's the place in all the world where you find more olive trees in only one region. And of course, the church is not only the church of this town, but the church serves an area where there is no other evangelical church. So we have a lot of people that come from different towns around our church. We live just above the church. This is a picture here of the entrance of the church. And we live just above the church where Joy Gillespie used to live years ago. And we are very happy there. We have settled well, so we thank you again for your prayers. And as I have said, the nearest evangelical church is 40. You have to travel 45 minutes to find another evangelical church, or a Protestant church, or a biblical church. You have to travel 45 minutes. So that shows how little influence of the gospel influence there is in that region. But as we arrived, of course, we're living in different and strange times. So after only 2 weeks there, all the regions and towns in Spain started to close because, of course, of all the COVID restrictions. So it was good that they didn't close our church, but then because 95% of our church comes from outside of our town, then they were not able to come to church. So we had to do online services just as we arrived. So that was how we began our ministry there in Cortijos Nuevos in Spain. We had to be almost 6 weeks doing online services at that time. I have here a few pictures of the area. This is this small town that you see there. That's Cortijos Nuevos, and there's a few more pictures of the area. And some people, as we were coming here, they were asking us, "Oh, I'm sure you feel the cold here in Northern Ireland," but we have to say that it's actually very cold also in the place where we live, because it's in the mountains. It could be nice and warm in the summer, but in the winter it's quite cold. And actually now they're having snow very near to where we live. This is a picture that I found today. Somebody has put this picture, and I think they took this picture yesterday or today. So that's a picture of somewhere very, very near to where we live. They found this deer just there with all the snow. So that's a picture of somewhere very near to our house. But as I was saying, we had to start our ministry online. That's the way we had to start because of the COVID restrictions. So the first Sunday I preached, it was in our own house. So I had to do it. I had to record it and then upload it into YouTube. So, of course, we used also these weeks that we had to be a bit more confined in the town. We used these weeks to kind of upgrade the media equipment there and all, so that we would be able to stream our services through YouTube, Facebook, and all that. And of course, we are trying to use those means to reach others with the gospel. There are so many that perhaps they wouldn't want to come into our church because of what the others will say, or because they don't want to be seen to come into a evangelical church. But perhaps we know that they're listening online, and so we want to use every means to reach them with the gospel. And it has been great. That's a picture of how we spent Christmas Day last year, because we couldn't go out of our region. So it was good that we could be there with Reverend Lyle Boyd and Heather. And it has been great to have him all this year, because I have been able to learn a lot from him. And just after we arrived, then after only a few weeks, he had problems with in his gallbladder. And he had this ongoing problems for some months, but thankfully, in the last months, he has been a lot better. So we thank you all who prayed for him. And regarding them, they are just coming now, just that they're going to get a ferry tonight to travel to Northern Ireland for 1 month or so. So if you could pray, even tonight, if you could pray for them, because they're going to get the ferry tonight and there could be a lot of wind. So please pray that they will have a safe trip to Northern Ireland as they're coming even tonight to spend some time here. Then in January of 2021, there was another 4 or 5 weeks that the towns had to close again. So many people in the congregation were not able to come to the services. But we are thankful that after that, COVID restrictions and the COVID numbers have decreased. And so we are able to do a lot of the things that we were not able to do before. And there is not a lot of restrictions at the moment. In total, it was funny because we were like 6 months that as a family we couldn't travel to Alicante to see my dad and mom. We thought that as we were going to Spain, we were going to see them a lot more, but then we were there 6 months that we were not able to see my mom and dad. But thankfully, after that, we have been able to see them a lot more. Regarding our kids, we are very thankful that they really settled well as we have been in Spain. And they really like the life of a small town, the rural life with all the countryside there. And then in March, we decided that Abigail would be starting school. We have thought much about it, and that was something that was a burden in our hearts to know what to do. And after considering all the options, we thought that it was the will of God for us to take Abigail to the public school, which is only 1 minute walking from our house. So, and we have seen the hand of the Lord there, because since Abigail started to go to school, we have had so many opportunities to speak with the families in the town, so many opportunities. Tremendous opportunities to speak about what we believe, about the scripture, about the gospel, about the difference between what the Catholic Church believe and what the Bible teaches. So it has been a tremendous opportunity. And this last September, both Abigail and Elizabeth started school again. And again, it has opened opportunities to speak to others about Christ and to witness. In June, last June, we were able to have a very special celebration in the church. And maybe you see this man who's sitting there. He's called Alfonso. And he would be the founding member of the church. And it's a man who has an amazing testimony of the grace of God in his life. We're trying to, maybe in the future, we will issue a kind of video with his testimony, because it's a tremendous testimony of what the Lord has done. And in June, he was 100 years old, so we wanted to celebrate that. I don't know if this will work, but there's... Brian. It was a very nice time to be all the church together for a lot of months. We were able to meet and it was great that we could be all the church together. And then we asked him to tell a bit of what the Lord had done for him, and he was able to testify of the grace of God. That was in June, and then in September we were able to have another church dinner, and it was a great time. We were able also to have fellowship with people from other churches that are this church that is 45 minutes from us. So 9 people from that church came, and it was a good time of fellowship, eating a good paella from the typical food in Spain, and then we had some time of singing and a Bible study too. So we believe it was a good time of fellowship that we had there as a church. Regarding the Sunday services, this is a video of one of the songs we were able to sing there. You can see there another one of the faithful elderly people of our church is that man in the wheelchair. He's called Jose Antonio, and he's such an example for everyone in the church, even with all the difficulties that he has. But he never, if he can, he never misses a meeting, and we know that he's praying for the church, and he's a tremendous example for all of us. Regarding the Sunday services, I'm just about to finish, I think it will be 2 weeks more, to finish a series on Ephesians that I have been doing for the last year, and I have learned so much. But even as we were preaching on Ephesians in chapter 5, Paul there deals with a family, marriage and children and all that. And as we were preaching on marriage, it's such even an important issue in Spain, because as we know a bit more the families in our town, we see so many broken families. We get even heartbroken to hear the stories of the families in our town. Satan has done and is still doing so much harm in Spain regarding this issue. And the biblical pattern for marriage and for family is almost an exception now. So as a family, we want to be an example there. It's strange to see a family with a dad and a mom and children. That's quite strange in Spain now. So please pray that we will be an example, and others will see this biblical pattern for marriage, and even that we will be able to illustrate the love of Christ for His church, even in our marriage, and even the love of God as a father to us children, even as we live with our children there in Spain. And so it has been I have really enjoyed preaching this series, and the Lord has helped us to learn a lot. And we are also very thankful that we have had some visitors in the church in the last months. There are perhaps other places in Spain where it's more common to have visitors, but because we are so in a place so remote in the country and very traditional and rural area, it is difficult to have visitors. But we have had some visitors, maybe other Christians that have come from the church in Alcorcón to visit sometime, other Christians from nearby churches. But even what we like the most is visitors from our own town there in Cortijos Nuevos. And we thank the Lord because some of them have come in special events, or even the Children's Day, some of them came to listen. We pray that the Lord will bring more of them. They will be able to hear the gospel and come to Christ, come to His feet. There was even another man that had heard our radio program that we have every day, was interested, and he came. He comes from a town that is an hour and a half away, but he came to the church, and we were very, very thankful to the Lord for bringing him. He showed a lot of interest, and we were able to give him a Bible. And please continue to pray for the radio ministry. We have a program in the radio every day, and we know that many are listening. Some react and come, and others don't, but we pray that they will know more about Christ and about their need of salvation. Also, in the last 3 months, we have been able now to restart normal Sunday school, and that has been a blessing to have again the children and the church. Vanessa was able to do some Sunday school online. Maybe some of you were able to watch some of these videos and perhaps understand something. And she was able to do that at the beginning of the year. But since September, we have returned to normal Sunday school, and we have 3 classes. The little ones from age 0 to 6, juniors from ages 7 to 13, and then the youth and adult Bible class ages 14 and upwards. I'm teaching this last class, and and endeavoring to do a simple simple class on doctrine for the young people and also adults, that they will get a deeper grasp of the truths of the Word of God. And our prayer is that more children and even adults also in this class will come, and this will be a means of instructing them in the truths of the gospel. We had our Children's Day, as we said, and we were able to have the children taking part. And then another thing that we're doing, we have started a youth meeting every month. And what we would do is that we would bring the young people perhaps to our house, or perhaps in the houses of some of these, of the parents of the church, of the parents of the young people of the church. And if everyone came, we would be around 10 or so. So we have a group there that we want to teach them. And we have a great burden for them, because we know that they're living in an environment where everything they will hear from their friends, from their schools, is going to be contrary to the Word of God. So we want to teach them and share with them more of what the Lord has for them in His Word. And here is also one Sunday that we took a picture of the church there. Presently, I'm also doing Bible studies with people from our congregation who perhaps don't have doubts of their salvation, or also they want to learn more about the Bible. So every other week, I'm doing these Bible studies. And Vanessa's also doing some Bible reading with some woman. They have a WhatsApp group, and then they say, we're going to read these chapters. And so they read it, and then they comment it. They speak about what they have read. So please pray that even more people, more will be with more desire to read the Word of God and learn from themselves what God has for them. And please pray for some families that we're speaking to. There's a Gypsy community very near to where we live. And there are some families who show an interest to know more of the Word of God. They want to be taught in the truths of the Bible. So please pray for them that they will have more interest and so perseverance in learning all these things. And that many of them who don't profess salvation, that they will come to the feet of Christ. Between Reverend Boyd and me, we are sending a daily devotional to the people in our church and also other people connected to our congregation. So what we do is, in WhatsApp, we would send a text from the Bible and then an audio file with a devotional of maybe 3-4 minutes. So please pray that the Lord will use this to edify His people. And also every Saturday since September, I have started a series of videos of video with a Bible message called Sábados en la Sierra, and that's Saturdays in the mountains. So we go to different places in the mountains there where we live, different sites, and we bring a short gospel message from different points of the countryside there. And we know of many people who are listening, so we pray that the Lord will use these efforts to reach others, to reach people, and it will be for His own glory. Some weeks ago, we went to a castle and we were able to speak of that mighty fortress that is our God. We're also translating Mr. Cairn's question and answer videos. And I'm learning a lot as I translate them. And we believe it is a great tool for believers to grow in the things of the Lord. Regarding outreach, I'm sure you know it by what Reverend Lyle Boyd has been so faithful in all these years about the market stalls. He has been really, really faithful. And we are continuing this work every Tuesday and Thursday. If weather permits, we go to the markets and we put some literature there. And we were able to distribute some tracts. There are 4 towns that we usually go. We take it in turns. And that allows us to spread the gospel around the area where we live. So that's another thing. If you could remember and pray for these market stalls that we have, that the Lord will soften the hearts of those that receive the tracts or those that speak with us. And that we will also be able to know what to say. There are some times that they come with different subjects and maybe I don't find the words to say. But I leave it in the hands of the Lord. And I know that in His will, He gives words to those that are wanting to speak for Him. This year, as we ended the year, we have designed a calendar with pictures from Sierra, from this mountain range. So here's the first page of this calendar of 2022. And as a church, we have printed 1,000 calendars, and our idea is to give them free to many of our contacts and even in the market stalls to distribute them. And we know that perhaps there are some people that they will not take a tract because they know that that's something to do with maybe they see all the writing and they don't want to read all that, but they will take a calendar. And a calendar means, of course, we have different sites of the mountain range with a Bible verse and an explanation of the Bible verse. So we're hoping that they will get these calendars and they will read what it says. They will read these Bible verses. And we know that the entrance of the Word gives light. So we pray that the Lord will give light to those that are in darkness, the darkness of Romanism. Some of them have been for so, so long, and they can only see that. They can't see anything else. And others in the light of secularism and atheism, everything. So we pray that the Lord will give light to those that are in darkness, even through these calendars that we are hoping to distribute in the very near future. I think they're going to arrive next week. As we arrive in Cortijos Nuevos, this order of 1,000 calendars will arrive. So we're hoping that the Lord will use them for His glory. And as I finished, of course, we want to give the glory to God for everything that He has permitted us to do. We couldn't do anything if He wasn't there to strengthen us, to help us, to guide us, to protect us and everything. So we can say, as that Psalm 115 says, and that verse is a motto verse for our family. Psalm 115 verse 1 says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory, for Thy mercy and for Thy truth." It has been for me a tremendous privilege to be able to dedicate myself full time this year to the work there in Sierra de Segura, in this beautiful mountain range where we live and where we serve the Lord. And of course, I want to thank you again very much for your part that you have there. And I want to remind you that your labor and prayer and supporting us and remembering us, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. May all the glory be to our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We will pray, and then Mr. Park will come. Let's pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time that we have been able to meditate in Thy Word. Help us to be patient in every work we do for Thee. Help us, O Lord, to remember that You are always with us. And remember that, yes, we can plant and we can water, but it's You who gives the fruit. And we pray, O Lord, that in Your time You will give fruit. You are the sovereign God, so we leave the results in Your hands, O Lord. And O Lord, even in the difficult times that we're living through, help us to be patient, Lord, and to look up and know that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh, and to be ready for that, O Father. Thank You, Father, for the privilege and the possibility that You have given me today to report of what You have done in the last year, and what You have permitted us to do. And O Lord, this all by Your grace and by Your mercy. We don't deserve, or we're not worthy to be able to serve Thee. But, O Lord, we want to be faithful servants. And as we do this, O Lord, may Your name be glorified. May the Lamb of God receive the reward of His sufferings. We ask all these things, O Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Thank you, Alejandro. We do remember the work in Spain, in Cortijos Nuevos. Remember Lyle, he's getting a boat tonight in Bilbao, coming over to Rosslare, and driving on up tomorrow then to Northern Ireland. So I want to sing this hymn, our third hymn tonight. Want to go through with God as a child of the Lord, above thine own ambitions here, another voice is sounding clear. It is the call of God to thee, O leave thy all and follow me. few minutes, when we come to the season of prayer, we want to remember the work in Corticus Nuevis. We want to think about Alex and the work that he's doing there as he pastors the church and is helped greatly by his wife and the congregation. Some things that happened this week: we had a pastor's conference in India on Monday and Tuesday. There were nine preachers that were able to tune in and instruct these Indian pastors. It was just lovely to spend time with them. I was first on the Monday morning, and we only had to go in for our particular lecture, and then eight others followed, four, I think, on the Monday, and then another four on the Tuesday. They were mostly mission board members and the officers of presbytery, and we heard good reports of how these men enjoyed the word. We were speaking on the subject of missions. Dipankar yesterday had the opportunity to speak to laymen, pastors, and their wives, and a good number gathered for that as he continues to encourage his brethren in India. This is a group that met with Freya, and a meal was provided for them. So they were very encouraged that some food was given to them as they came to pray and to seek the Lord together. I got these from Freya today. This was in Tharatara Sewing Centre, and the girls that are coming and benefiting from the instruction of the word and also learning to sew. The Reverend Harris has contacted John, was keen to get talking to us this week. We had the opportunity to speak to him over a WhatsApp call. This is the call that we had, and he called his new bride in just to greet us as well. But that led to speaking to the children of Grace Academy, where John's brother David is the principal. You saw that last Lord's Day, runs a school for orphaned children. And so we were in contact with them. We spoke to them this morning at 7 o'clock. It was an early rise. That's 2 o'clock their time, 5 hours different, just before they went home. And I had to listen with joy, I have to say, for half an hour to the children taking part. And so these children were reciting things from the alphabet to this wee girl who is 4 years of age. She counted 1 to 100 in English. I thought that was a tremendous achievement. She got it pretty spot on too. And then also the child's catechism, and the children are learning the catechism there, which of course deal with the great truths and doctrines of God's word. We also received this prayer request from the Reverend Philip Knowles. I'll just read it to you. You can see it on the screen. In our church, we've been praying for a missionary couple in Bolivia who I studied with in Puerto Rico. His name is Anderson Thompson. He's originally from Barbados, and his wife Elizabeth is from Bolivia. They originally went to look after orphans, and he now pastors a small church. Elizabeth has got COVID, and only 20% of her lungs have been working. The doctors have put her into a coma, and so far that's been for 9 days. So we're hoping, as a mission board and maybe as a congregation here, to help with some of the medical bills where they have to pay everything out there. It's a bit pixely, but this is a dear lady, Elizabeth, that we'll ask you to pray for and remember her husband and the family there. I want to thank those who have tuned in tonight on Sermon Audio, YouTube, Facebook, whatever the case might be, and being part of our worship here on a Thursday night. Do pray for these things that you've seen. Remember Alex before the throne of grace. But we will come now to our time of prayer as a congregation here.